From WKYT Podcast, this is Uniquely Kentucky. I'm your host, Amber Philpotts.
Hello, podcast listeners. I hope this episode finds you doing well. We've made it to spring, or at least we've finally seen some temperatures that feel like spring. Anyone who knows me knows that I am a major bookworm. So this time of year, you can find me on my back patio, kicked back, book in hand. It is my happy place. As much as I love reading, I also love learning about authors and how they got their start, where their inspiration comes from, and how they finally found the courage to put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard to make their stories come to life. This month on Uniquely Kentucky, I'm talking with Corey Stringer. I first introduced you to Corey and his dog Blue in Lexington back in 2018 for a story on WKYT. Blue has an amazing story of survival, and the second chance at life she was given will melt your heart. Blue is now the star in a series of children's books written by Corey and written in a cartoon-type style. Blue's zany antics and fun nature are captured within the pages. Blue is a beautiful black lab mix with the most perfect Kentucky blue eyes. And while she can't be a guest on the podcast, well, we let her human stand in to tell her story.
Uniquely Kentucky with Amber Philpott is brought to you by the WKYT News and Weather Apps, available on the App Store and Google Play.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into Uniquely Kentucky. I am joined this month by Lexington children's book author Corey Stringer. However, the real star of this podcast are going to be two four-legged friends, Blue and Rue. But Corey, you're used to that, right?
Yeah, I'm just the labor. They're the brains behind the order.
Welcome, buddy. How are you?
Oh man, I am just so tired right now. But I'm doing. Everyone out there in podcast land, I'm usually asleep at this time. We're recording this in the morning. And Amber's just all nice and chipper, and I'm wearing from the waist up regular clothing, but I assure you from the waist below, I am not wearing regular clothing. I'll be going to take a little nap when we're done with this, but I wouldn't miss this for the world. We are so happy to be here, and I want to ask you a question real quick. So I don't know how many episodes you've done. I think this is like 70, something like that. Whenever you open your show, you ever have a little urge to just like go full on Robin Williams, Good Morning Vietnam? Do you ever do that?
No, but I do notice, I can appreciate that. But I do notice that every time I open with the same thing and I'm like, and I have this urge to go, hello, podcast listeners, but I haven't gone full Robin Williams. So,
but here's the thing, you can't do it with me because, you know, I'm like, you know, a lunatic. You need to do it with like someone that you have on, it's like really, you know, like fancy, like, you know, if you have like Dame
super
Judy,
serious,
yes, like Dame Judy Jenskins, like Andy Beshear comes on the show and you're just like, good morning Kentucky, and you just go nuts and see what he does.
Well, so far I've had no one serious on this show, so see,
I can be very serious if you'd like. I'll just be super serious.
So we are both wearing our official Blue and Rue gear.
We did not plan this either.
People are probably listening to this and we're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So let's at least first tell people, I said you're a children's book author and you are, you've got several out now and they're all based around your dog Blue and then came in a friend Rue. So let's go back, Corey. How I first met you, you had rescued a dog, Blue. I did the story in 2018.
Yeah, 28. It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah. But the cool thing about Blue, before we ever get into the books, Blue had such a story to tell. And I loved it because when we did the story on WKYT, we were able to make a graphic headline for it. And it was Dog with Tale of Survival Living a Storybook Life. And if that ever fit someone or a story that we did, it was Blue. So Blue was actually rescued out of a fire that happened at the animal shelter right in Knox County, the
Whitley animal shelter fire. And I had actually heard that it was intentionally set, but someone got a hold of me last year actually on Facebook and told me that it wasn't intentionally set, that it was like, I think faulty wiring or something like that. So that's good. I mean, I can't imagine why anyone would intentionally set fire to an animal shelter. So that makes me think about the human species. But yeah, Blue, most of her, I'm pretty sure her mom perished in the fire, unfortunately. She was very, very young, like only a few days old. And we actually saw her. We were watching, you know, you guys, WKYT News, and y'all were covering this fire. And they showed this little bitty dog with blue eyes. And we were like, oh, that's a really cute dog, having no idea, you know, that weeks later the dog would just turn my life upside down. And my wife told me, she said, you know, let's get a dog. And she runs the house. I just work here. So I said, okay. And so we went to the animal shelter because, you know, you want to get a dog, you gotta rescue one. That's my opinion on it anyway. So we go there, and of course all the dogs, you know, they're really excited to see us. And she's looking at this dog. Its name was Basil, I think was the name. Basil, mm-hmm. Yeah, Basil. And it was a German Shepherd Rottweiler mix, if I remember correctly. And it was just like all about Emily. And I was kind of wandering off on my own, and I see in this little bitty crate, there were two black dogs. And one of the black dogs was literally sitting on the head of the other one. And the one that was being sat on was Blue. And so the dog opens up one eye and looks at me, and I see this blue eye, and it's just striking this little black dog, you know, blue eye. And I was like, oh, you are just melting my heart. So, and then Blue kind of like gets up from underneath what turns out to be her sister was sitting on her. She comes over, she like gives me a little lick right through the crate. And I was like, well, that's it. You're coming home with me. And they wouldn't let us take her because she had just got spayed.
Yeah.
So we had to wait. And the next day we just rushed right over there first thing in the morning to get her. And PetSmart had come and taken her before they even opened. So we had to rush all the way back across town to the other side to get to PetSmart. And we get there, and you know, and they're having like their weekly adoption thing. And everyone's gathered around the crates picking up the dogs. And I'm frantically trying to find who I'd already named Blue.
Oh.
And I see one dog off by itself, asleep. And so I just walk over to it. And I flick the crate just a little bit. And that one blue eye opens up. And I was like, mine, yank. And I just yank it up. And everyone sees the dog, and they're all like, oh my God, I want that dog. And I'm like, no, it's mine. Go away. So we just go off and bond. And Blue was sweet and innocent for like maybe the first half hour that we had her. And then she just went psychotic. And it's been 8 years of just nonstop Blue madness since then.
So Blue is this beautiful, she's a black lab. Is she a husky mix?
She's a lab. We actually had the doggy DNA thing done. So is Blue is a Weimaraner Terrier mixed with a cattle dog, a Staffordshire Terrier, black lab, husky, different kinds of flubber because she's fat. I mean, it's just so many different kinds of dogs. So
I think what I loved about Blue when I met you guys and I came over to the house for the story is that she was just totally unaffected. You say that she loves to watch television, and by goodness, if that dog didn't get in her chair and literally be like, yeah, okay, shoot some video of me. Like, here's what I do.
You guys came during the time when Blue is usually asleep. Blue, like her daddy, is a night owl. So if y'all had for some reason been there to shoot at like around 10 o'clock at night, you would have seen the full Blue experience where she will, if you could see all the toys that are on the floor right now. I mean, we have a pretty big living room, and I'd say at least a third of it is just covered in BarkBox toys. And all these toys are not out on the floor. This dog will walk over to one of her baskets that we keep the toys in and will start getting the toys out and put them back on the floor. So she goes nuts every night. Every night. She acts like a puppy. And it's just a shame you all missed that. You all got to see the chill Blue that everyone else gets to see. I get the real Blue, which is what prompted me to start writing the books. I was like, this dog is a lunatic, and I barely have to tweak the things I put in the books. It's just, I make them sillier. That's all I do.
So it's funny because she literally likes to watch. Well, first of all, I should say you are sort of a movie, TV, just nerd. And I use that lovingly because I'm a nerd in so many ways. So your dog loves some of the same things like Scooby-Doo on TV.
He loves Scooby-Doo. Yes, he does. If a dog on a commercial comes up, of course, that just irritates her to no end. And she has to let everyone in the world know there's a dog on TV. But she does watch Scooby-Doo. I swear I wasn't kidding when I said she watched it. When we have you guys on, she recognizes you. She recognizes your voice. And she'll be watching and waiting. I think she's actually waiting for animals to show up. So whenever you guys say, like, coming up next, we have, you know, an animal who needs adoption, I'm like, oh, gotta change channel, or I'll just mute it. So, and Blue knows, when I mute it for the commercials, that's when she really starts looking at the camera. TV, like, oh, there's going to be a dog coming up here, and I'm going to get it. But this, she is just such a handful. And if I hadn't already been shaving my head before I got her, I probably would have lost my hair just from trying to keep her from eating everything she sees.
Well, I was going to say, labs are no joke. I had a lab growing up. She was the best dog, but she literally ate everything in sight. She loved golf balls and would literally chew them down until you got to all of the insides. There would be nothing of the insides left. So I understand a lab and the chewing on everything.
Dude, you know what we did literally? Well, in my brain, because I haven't been asleep yet tonight, but last night for normal humans. So every night we go for walks. So if anyone, I can't say the street because I don't want it to be out in public, but you know where I live. Mm-hmm. So we're up and down the streets all night long, whenever she wants to go for a walk. So people just see us out there. I'm the crazy bald guy with the big fat black dog. There are some geese who have taken up residence right across the street. And you wouldn't think they'd want to live and literally in a parking lot, not in a tree, just like in a median. I mean, these geese are sitting on eggs, man. And Blue knows this. And for the past three nights in a row, this dog has taken me over there to these geese, and the geese are not happy with us. And they are, I mean, I've never seen a goose literally call out like the raptors in Jurassic Park for help from other geese. But the mama goose will jump up off the eggs and flap her wings. And they're bigger than Blue, and it's calling for geese, and all the other geese come and they're like yelling at us and stuff. And I got hissed at by a bird last night. I didn't know birds hissed, but this thing hissed at me. And Blue, I'm telling you, she couldn't care less. This dog is nuts. It keeps me on my toes.
You guys are going to end up being in a news story. And one night when I hear it come across the scanner that a guy and his dog are being attacked by a bunch of geese, I'm going to go, well, I know who that is. You know, funny that you should say that Blue recognizes my voice. My claim to fame is that I legit had a mother bring her little one to me one time at the mall when we were ringing the Salvation Army bell at Christmas to say that she turns on the television when I'm on and the baby would stop crying. So I've got that going for me, and that Blue recognizes my voice. So, I mean, I think I've made it. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Blue is literally about 10 feet away from me right now, sleeping on her bed. And her bedspread is a Blue and Roo blanket because she is a shameless plug, man. That's all she does, plug her stuff.
Let's talk about the books. How in the world did you come up with the idea to do? So let's see. I've got three of them here. I'm not sure that these are in the. Oh, so the first one was Night Night Blue.
Oh, yeah.
And then
first two. Yeah.
I have Merry Christmas Blue. Yeah. And then this is your latest, Go Big Blue, right? But there are several in between. How do we even come up with the idea to make a fun adventure and this book? And how would you describe them to people?
Well, the first two books, as I'm sure you've noticed, are very different from what the books are now. The first two books in the series are very gentle humor, primarily written for kids who are just learning to read. I'm talking like preschool to kindergarten ages. They're still very funny. And when I set out to do it, I wanted to write a children's book that parents, because they're the ones who have to read the books a million times, right?
Right.
So I said, I'm going to write a book and illustrate a book that a parent can read over and over and over again with their kids and not want to just bash their heads against the wall, which means there's going to be jokes in the background for them to see to keep them engaged. So the slapstick is there for the, you know, the young audiences and stuff. But the sweet spot of the book is there are always the jokes in the background. You have to look at everything because I put so many jokes in them. And then when I started working on the second book, Merry Christmas Blue, that book, it was I did it from start to finish in 16 days. And it was just a marathon. I needed to get, because the first book, I didn't expect it to take off the way it did, because it's literally just me, man. I mean, I turned down publishing companies who wanted to use their own in-house illustrators. And it's just a big complicated story. But the long story short, they can do that so they can take more of the money from the, you know, the profits and stuff. And I've been doodling my whole life, you know, and I didn't teach myself to draw on a level like that, to just have someone else come in and do it with, like, with no heart, you know, someone has no connection to the story. So I said, no, I'm just gonna do this myself. And then the first book came out, and it was doing really well for what it was, you know, independently released and just little old me. And then I was like, well, people are sort of asking for a Christmas book, and it was November. And I'm going, oh my God. So I do it and I get it done. And then you come in and you swoop in. And when you put Blue's story on TV, along with those first two books, man, that's what sent it through the roof for the character. And since then, it's been pedal to the metal, and it's been growing exponentially ever since then. And I remember being thrilled that we had 300 followers on the page, and we're closing on 12,000 right now.
Wow.
Over the past year, you know, the past year with the pandemic, compare that to the year prior to it, we had over 1,000% growth. And if we keep the pace we're on now, we're looking to double that for this year.
Wow. And
it never ceases to amaze me that people literally all over the world read these books and love them. And it's not just the books, they love the videos that we make, these stupid little silly videos of just our day-to-day life. And they got so popular that Facebook started paying me for the videos. And yeah, the face you just made, that's the face I made when I said, you're going to pay me for videos I was already making and just to post them? And they're like, yeah. And I said, okay, let's do that. So, and it seriously, I mean, I owe so much to you guys at WK, you especially. And if it hadn't been for you putting that out there, I don't think it would have gone as big as it did. So that's why we're so loyal to you guys. And I just
Well, that means a lot to me because I get the opportunity to tell stories, but it's picking and choosing the stories. And yeah. I think a lot of times in my world, people will say, well, you know, why do you kill yourself to do so many stories? And it's not like that for me. It's like when someone like you that I have no idea reaches out and you see the value in this humanistic story of a dog and her owners, and you tell that story, you just don't know how that can. And so I take so much pride in that because it's why I do what I do. I get the privilege of being on television every day, but it's really about telling stories, you know? Yeah. You know,
when I was in college, when I was at UK, I went into broadcast journalism for a semester. And the funny thing is, they told me I remember them saying, they said, you're too big and muscular to be an anchorman, and you have a shaved head. You'll scare people. That's literally what they told me. And I said, okay, well, I don't want to be the guy they send out to the murder down the street. So yeah. I'm going to go another route. And so that's when I majored in history. But before I started doing the books, I don't know if you Googled me or anything before our interview and stuff. I'm sure you found out I did movies. I was an actor. So and when I was a kid, my first memory was seeing E.T. in a movie theater. And my mom, I know you're listening. My mom says she was there. I have no memory of her being there, but you know, I'm sure she was. But I remember my dad being there. Mm-hmm. That's my first memory. So I've been obsessed with movies ever since then. And you can totally tell that in the books, because they're very visual, and I literally storyboard them like a movie. So I just took my experience in the movies, and by the way, when I say movies, I mean some of the worst movies that have ever been made. If you look me up on Google, you will see some truly terrible movies. I love the people I made them with. They're still my friends to this day, but let's not kid ourselves. Santa Claus versus the Zombies in 3D is not going to win any Oscars anytime soon, all right?
Oh, I can't believe that wasn't a banner movie that year. I can't imagine that was.
It was so good. We shot it in April, and you can tell.
Can I tell you also that in terms of you saying how thankful you are that we did this story, and that means the world to me, but also another moment that meant that I made it in the world was being able to have here. I mean, this stays in my office. I've been made into a character before, but this, very good.
Look how psychotic you look. I've gotten much better at drawing you since then.
I mean, it's just, it's a lot of teeth, a lot of teeth happening.
Yeah, I know, but look how big your mouth, you're like the Joker. I'm so sorry. Oh, you poor thing.
Well, it's still very special to me. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
So Blue was in all of these books, and then all of a sudden pops up a sidekick, because, you know, every great cartoon needs a sidekick. So where did Roo come from?
Well, Blue and Root are both rescue dogs, and they were both under a year old when they became just best friends, inseparable. And Melody, if you're listening, she's Roo's owner. We love you, and I'm so happy you're in our lives. We call her my second wife. So she is with us all the time because of Roo. And she likes to say that we have joint custody of Roo. So he's here all the time with us, and we love him to death. And so their dynamic, the more time I spent with them and seeing them hang out together, I noticed that these two are like Laurel and Hardy. They are like a full on comedy team in dog form. So I wanted to put Roo in the second book, Merry Christmas book. It was originally going to end with Blue being surrounded by this mountain of presents, which is not an exaggeration of her real life. And so she's just going to be living it up, you know, living the big life. And she's going to see on the TV you all talking about, you know, these dogs that need, you know, adopting for the holidays. And she would see Roo. And so it was going to end with them going to adopt Roo. But I was running out of time, man. I didn't have time to put that in the book. So I ended it the way I did. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, Roo is definitely going to be in book 3.
Oh.
And when I started working on the third book, that's when the series started to change. Because as soon as I brought Roo into it, I knew I was onto something. And so it went from being like these, you know, still funny, but gentle children's books, rhyming, you know, and everything, to gradually becoming more and more, they're so insane. And so they're Looney Tunes, man. And that's what they became with the introduction of Roo. And I'm not kidding. When Roo came into the books, they went through the roof all over the world, more so than they were.
And oh, that's awesome.
They became a comedy team, and there was no looking back. And so I put Roo in the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, and they have equal billing now. So
what I love about the book is like when you it's almost like it's like a Where's Waldo of jokes.
I literally put Waldo,
it's like you're looking at the page, there's always something else that you've got to be focused in on. And so it's like truly like a Where's Waldo of like trying to figure out what am I supposed to be looking at to get all the jokes.
Did you see Waldo? I literally put Waldo in the new book. Did you find him?
Maybe I haven't. I didn't know that.
Oh, you weren't paying attention. No. Okay. Well,
I did notice that there was a lot of Burt Reynolds. I did notice that a lot of Burt Reynolds shows up in his book. And I was like, I don't know what the infatuation is with Burt Reynolds, but there's clearly one.
I can't believe my wife didn't materialize in this room. I torment this poor woman with my Burt Reynolds obsession. I love Burt Reynolds. I think he is hilarious. There are two Smokey and the Bandit posters in this room. And if I were to turn the camera slightly to my right, we have a wall of Burt, of classic
Burt. Bless your wife's posters. Heart.
And she is tormented. I always torment her with the movie Gator. And everywhere she goes, she sees little gators, and I'm so happy. I swear I'm not doing anything about it. She just sees it, and like the song Eastbound and Down haunts her. And
I can imagine.
Oh, she exists for me to torment, and it's a miracle she hasn't killed me in my sleep yet. It's just a matter of time, honestly.
More with Corey Stringer when we return.
Get more local news and weather at a more convenient time. Watch WKYT News at 10 on the CW Lexington with Amber Philpott, Bill Bryant, and Chris Bailey.
Corey, but what I like to try to, you know, do with the podcast is obviously, like, you know, tell people's story, but also, you know, give people an outlet. And there are a lot of people, I think, that look to other people that are creative like us to go, well, how did you do it? How did you get there? So, you know, where did you find sort of the courage to go out on your own and say, I'm going to start this, and then also keep it going once it did become successful? I think a lot of people want to write and they have ideas. They just don't know how to put it on paper. And quite frankly, they don't know how to get it into this form right here where it's tangible for people to purchase.
Well, as for me, you can actually blame my mother. She had been pestering me for 2 or 3 years. It was like, you need to do a children's book, because I had written children's movies back in the day. And she said, just do a book. You know, you could take Blue, put her adventures in a book. And I resisted it for the longest time. I was like, no, I said, I just want to focus on movies, blah, blah, blah. Even though they're terrible, I still wanted to focus on movies. And then I remember I was reading Calvin and Hobbes, and it was at Christmas time, and I said, I can do this. And so oh my God, I have that. That's the book. I'm not kidding.
This is one of my most prized possessions, is my Calvin and Hobbes book.
People out in podcast land, the book she's holding up right now is the Calvin and Hobbes 10th anniversary collection. I'm not kidding. That is the book I was reading when I said, I can do this. I could already draw. Not great at that time. So I just sat down and I started doing some rough sketches on a notebook paper of Blue. And I took things that have really happened and I just tweaked it a bit, made it silly. And I started off drawing it all by hand on paper, as you remember. And then after I did it all by paper, I decided I want to do it digitally. So I went and got a digital art pad. And I just practiced on it until I got good. And my first digital drawing, it is the worst thing you've ever seen. Oh my God. One day, maybe I'll put it in the book so people can laugh at me, but it is awful, right? So you just have to keep working at it and working at it and working at it. And it helps that I don't sleep. So I'm a lifelong insomniac pretty much. So I'm up all night and I'll just keep a drawing until I get it to look the way I want. That's the perfectionist in me.
Mm-hmm.
And my advice to anyone out there, and I'm sure you would say the same thing, is you have to be persistent and you have to believe in yourself. Even if no one else does believe in you, you have to believe in yourself. And I've been so lucky to have so many people believe in me, even before the first book came out.
Yeah.
I have phenomenal parents who have no problem having a daydreaming weirdo as a son, and my wife, who lets me be the overgrown 12-year-old that I am, and all of my friends. So, and if you don't have that in your life, you can always find it somewhere else. Yeah. You can, there's groups you can join. Just believe in yourself. Hell, reach out to me. I'll talk you through it if you want to. Talk to Amber. She's fun to talk to.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine too that with your books, that it's also been able to shine a light on remembering that that shelter dogs are dogs that we should be adopting, and that there are a whole host. I mean, is that also something that's important to you, is obviously reminding people that Blue came out of a shelter and a really horrific situation and now is, you know, the star of the family?
Oh yeah. Whenever I do interviews, we've done international radio broadcasts, anything you we've done it. I always tell where Blue came from, and I always try to push, you know, adopt, don't shop. And I don't look down on people who's like, oh, we had a, you know, purebred, you know, thing made for us. You know, that you do you, that's fine. For me, I will always prefer to rescue, and we got the two best rescue dogs on earth, and they are so lucky. And this dog is snoring. I don't know if it's picking up on the microphones, but she is snoring. Ugh, it's my life. I'm telling you, I do nothing but work out, play with these dogs, draw, think up merch ideas, and work on the website, and edit the videos. It's literally all I do from the moment I get up until the moment I finally pass out. It's all I do. That's it.
As we wrap up, let's tell people it is important to me to give you the platform. So tell people, how do they find Blue and Rue books? How do they find the merch? How do they keep up with you guys to see what these crazy dogs are into next?
Easiest way to do it is to go to their website, which is www.blueandroo.com. That's blooandroo.com. So whenever I say Blue and Roo, people type in, I type in the color and it's not showing up. Well, Blue's name is Bloo, not BL. So that's my fault. She made a little aroo sound. So that's why it's blue, not the color blue. So go to their website. They're all over social media. They are extremely popular on Facebook, which boggles my mind, but they are. So if you just look them up, Blue and Rue on Facebook, Blue and Rue on Instagram, Blue and Rue on TikTok. We are getting ready to launch BlueTube, their YouTube channel, because sleep is for weirdos.
Overrated. It's totally overrated.
You know, I mean, I've seen you guys there late at night when there's totally. Like a game or something. You guys are on at 1 a.m. You guys are glassy. Yeah. And I've been, you know, the newest book, Go Big Blue, the last day I was working on it, I worked until noon to finish the last illustration in the book, which was the hardest one to do because, you know, all the characters are involved with it. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was doing anything I could to keep myself awake. So I put on the morning show, which I'm never around to watch, right? These guys, I don't know if you ever watch it, they are mainlining coffee on the air. I'm talking about Kristen Kennedy and the guy, Victor. Dude, yeah. They are mainlining. They're not even trying to hide it. They're like reading the news and just chugging coffee. It's hilarious.
It's like I always think they should have like an IV line of coffee. Yes. Just a complete IV drip of coffee constantly.
Do you still wear fluffy slippers under the table when you do?
I do. I actually have. I brought these home. These are the ones that I used to have at the station, but I have them on now. So I have different ones at the station now. Heck yeah. You do see my shoes now. We changed so many shots. So now I do. So a lot of times at the set, I'll have either flats or slippers, and then I'll have my heels right beside it. So that if I have to get up and go over to the monitor wall, I just slip into the shoes and go over there and walk across. So yeah.
Oh man. You can be like Chris Bailey. I think Chris is wearing sneakers all the time, I think.
Oh, and and he has a brand new graphics now where they're 3D. Is doing the shoe swap in the middle of the show as well. So he's doing the same thing. So, yeah.
The night of the all the big tornadoes and stuff, I believe that was in December.
It was.
I was up all night working on this new book. And so I put the TV on him to see what's going on, right? And I was watching. I was there with him all night long working. Mm. Him and poor Jim, man. I mean, yeah. And they did not cut away to commercial, man. Nope. They went all through the night, and I was so impressed that they went. I actually saw what he found. We'll just cut this part out of the podcast because it's depressing. I was actually watching when he got the news about all the, you know, the loss of life and everything, and it was heartbreaking to watch that. So if you see him, just tell him that I really appreciate what he did.
Oh, I'll do it. Well, Corey, what I want to say to you is thank you for reaching out to me in 2018 and sending me an email, because the greatest part of my job is meeting friends like you and your wife and Blue through a simple email, and then being able to be allowed into your home and tell your story. So I just want you to know, thank you. I don't take that lightly. It's very important to me. And so I just say thank you to you.
Well, ditto right back at you, honey. I mean, you, like I said before, you guys have been so good to us. And if it hadn't been for you, specifically you, and believing in Blue's story and everything and taking that to the world, that we wouldn't be where we are now.
Well, I'm a bookworm, and I'm going to take that to heart with me, that I'm a bookworm and I help that make that happen with those. I'm going to own that. There's not a lot of things I'll take ownership of, but I will help take ownership of that one.
Did you see the character you asked me to, when I asked if I could put you in a book, I can't remember what it was. And you said, okay, we're going to make it like silly or something, you know? Did you see what I turned you into?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm going to tell the listeners now. So Amber wanted to not just be Amber in the book. She's like, make me something silly. And I was like, okay, I'll make something silly. So I made her Amber the Philbot, like a sentient news android. And so whenever you see Amber in the book, I don't think she's in the new one, which is weird. I'm really tired. Sorry. No, she's not. She's not in the new one. Sorry about that. I'll put you in the next one.
Oh, gosh.
Whenever she pops up, it is Amber the Philbot. And so when we watch you on TV, we say, oh, Philbot's on. It's not Amber, it's Philbot. So,
which is so funny because I say one day that I'm probably going to be replaced by a robot, legit. So if that ever comes true. Absolutely. And I should tell people, like, I get nothing out of this. I want everyone to know that. Like, I may be in the books. I may have a character in there. I get nothing out of this. It brings me pure joy to not be a part of any of this other than to be Philbot.
Well, I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't had permission. That's my thing.
Absolutely. Corey Stringer, thank you so much for being a part of Uniquely Kentucky. Listeners, if you're out there, go check it out. You will love it. It is hilarious. It gets you out of the real world for a few moments if you dive into these books, both children and adults. So, Corey, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.